Hey there, Real Feels fans. This is Drew, coming back at you with another What Are You Watching special edition with my man Brad from the Old Man Brad podcast. Brad invited me onto his show this time so we can do another catch-up for our current 200 Days of Horror. So buckle up, listen in. It's time to get spooky.
Come on, knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been wanting to tell you all about what we're watching too.
Hey, friends. Friends of Old Man Brad and friends of Real Feels Podcast.
That's me.
We are back with an update on our 200. Yes, that's right. 200 Days of Horror. Drew, you and I are crazy.
We're a little crazy, but we're keeping it organized this year, at least.
And we're at day 50.
50.
A quarter of the way through.
Mm.
So we're going to kind of give a little update of some things that we watched. What are some highlights that we've watched in this first 50 days? What are a couple misses? And some things that we're looking forward to or maybe might be on our list for the next 50. Because after this, the next time we're going to talk to you is halfway there. All right, Drew, so far in our first 50 days, I know we've done some of these watches in the past.
Mm.
Are you like ahead of the curve right now?
I am ahead of the curve. So we should have 50 as of today. And I'm sitting at 78.
Wow. Okay. We should have 50. I'm sitting at 55.
Hey, that is a nice buffer.
Get a little buffer there just to keep me safe. And anybody wants to like participate in our 200 Days of Horror, we just do hashtag 200 Days of Horror. You don't have to watch 200 movies. You can just participate at any time from March 15th till October 1st.
All the cool kids are, but...
Yeah, of course. But if they want to be extra cool, they could just, you know, watch whatever and just participate. How are we going to do this? I think we were talking earlier, we're going to do like our top seven and then three misses.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Top seven and then three, not to our likings. I don't like saying things are like a crap or a bad movie, despite the fact that there are crap and bad movies out there. I don't want to poo-poo on anybody's efforts. So
no, I don't poo-poo on it. I'll just say this one just missed the mark.
No particular order, but I am going to keep my last one as my best. So I'm going to go with a movie that was very much a surprise. And it came after I did a double feature with a very famous drag queen named Bianca Del Rio. And that inspired me immediately to go over to Tubi and watch 2024's Slay.
Oh, that's such a fun movie. So fun.
Stupid fun. So I'm a huge RuPaul's Drag Race fan, and it had one of the contestants from RuPaul's Drag Race, at least that I remember, one very specifically, who was Heidi in Closet.
Okay.
I thought this was fun. I thought the practical effects were fun. I thought the writing was clever. I mean, the story is goofy.
Oh,
but you're really still goofy. Like, this is still hilarious. Like, I mean, I think we were both talking about one of the lines, like, your O negative smells great or so. No, your blood pressure smells delicious.
I mean, it's very much a drag queen from Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. For anybody who has not seen it, Slay 2024, directed by Jim Gerard. It is absolutely a hoot. After a booking mistake, four drag queens find themselves performing for a mostly unwelcoming crowd. But when vampires attack, the crowd looks to the queens to save the day. This was a treat, and I'm so happy that I found it.
The character in the movie, Sheila, is my absolute favorite.
Yes!
I loved her so much. She was hilarious. It actually is not on my list, shockingly enough, but it should be. If I did a top 10, it probably would have made the list. So my first one is You'll Never Find Me, movie from 2024 on Shudder.
Not on my list, but I like where you're going.
This movie was just, I knew nothing about it going in. And it was a movie that, you know, our good friend Gerald from Two Peas on a Podcast, he was like, hey, we should do an episode on this and watch it. So I was like, oh, let's do it. It surprised me because it's one location. It's basically two actors. There's, I think, one other actor kind of at a side backstory, yeah, or something. But the whole movie is two people in this one trailer. And man, it is so good.
So claustrophobic.
I don't want to give too much away, so I don't want to kind of talk about the full premise of the movie because there are a lot of twists along the way. It plays a lot with sound and the way this movie is shot, cinematography, everything else is spot on. I absolutely loved You'll Never Find Me.
The sound, the lighting, and if you want like a good definitive feature that exhibits some real claustrophobic atmosphere, this is one. I was very much a fan of this, but did not make my list. So this next one comes from YouTube, where I watched it on the Creature Features YouTube channel. Now, Creature Features is kind of like a campy kind of B-rate mix between Elvira's Movie Macabre and The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. It has like little characters that host the show, and they, you know, they talk to each other and they do little skits and they read fan mail. And it's a fun little thing because they do movies ranging between like the 40s up through the 90s. And it's just a fun, free little show.
Yeah, I don't know this channel existed. I might have to check it out.
And they put out a new episode every Friday, and I think, no, every Saturday, and I think every other Friday. I watched a made-for-TV movie back from 1988, which features Gerald McRaney, who was the dad in Major Dad. Do you remember Major Dad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was the dad in The Neverending Story to Bastian. Remember he drank like his orange juice and like egg drink in the morning, and you're all like, oh, how is he doing that? This movie, in an effort to get away from the city and all of its crime, Chuck Yeoman and his family move to a big old house in a peaceful lakeside town. The discovery of a mutilated corpse in the lake and another body in the woods, however, suggests that the Yeomans would have been safer if they had stayed put. This is a good little movie, and especially for 1988. I don't know where they got their copy of this movie, but Bradley, when I tell you it was crisp.
Really? Okay.
It looked like something was on TV now. Like, it was that good quality. And that was on YouTube. It was very much an enjoyable film. You followed along with the plot. It was kind of predictable. The best thing for me was Barry Corbin in this movie, who played the local town doctor. And not to kind of like give anything away about it, if anybody doesn't remember Barry Corbin, he was like the gas station attendant that in No Country for Old Men that got asked the questions and he didn't know how to answer them.
Yep.
This guy plays crazy so well that you're like, why did I not see more of him? Because normally you saw him in almost like police officer roles, or he was like the one general in War Games. He played a psycho so well in this film. It immediately got on my list. And for a made-for-TV movie that was horror, I think it could have gone even further and been even better. And I really enjoyed it.
Would you say if it wasn't made for TV, it probably could have been elevated it a little bit more?
Yes, it could have been a little bit more violent. And I think it could have been legitimately something that could have been today with like the plot that it has and how it's unfolded. Yeah, I think it could have been a hit, kind of like creepy little town with a secret and newcomers come in and no one believes their crazy stories because X, Y, and Z happens. Yeah, it could have been something for today.
And what was this one called?
It's called The People Across the Lake from 1988, directed by Arthur Allen Seidelman.
Well, my next one on my list was a surprise to be original. I know you, another one besides Slay. Slay was one that surprised me.
Are we going to have a crossover?
We probably will, is Lowlifes.
Yes,
because
there's our crossover.
This was something that, you know, scrolling Tubi, I was like, what is Tubi original? Oh, sure, I'll check it out, why not. It surprised me.
Oh yeah,
it started out, you think it's gonna be your typical cliched backwoods movie, but there are some twists that I'm not gonna say a single thing.
15 minutes in, my jaw was dropped.
Yeah, you're like, all right. I think that's kind of where it hooked me. I know what you're talking about, and you're just like, sweet, I'm in. Let's do this.
Let's go. No, you're right. It to kind of like use the phrase, it turned on a dime, is an understatement.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those, you know, listening on the Old Man Brad feed, I just had an episode, last episode, I talked to the directors of the film, and they were kind of talking how one of them, what I thought was awesome, one of them is a big fan of horror. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is one of his favorite films, which this style of movie fits that.
Mm-hmm.
The other director, he loves doing horror, but he doesn't watch it. He's not a big fan of it. It hasn't seen a ton of movies. So they kind of like, as co-directors, really kind of, I think, meshed. So it didn't like lean too much into it. Like, there were some nods for sure. You're watching it going, okay, this obvious nod and this and this and this. But yeah, Low Lice, Tubi original. There we go. We got two Tubi originals on our list. Slaying Low Lifes.
I don't have to talk about Low Lives.
You can put something else on if you got something.
Oh, no. That's our crossover. I'm leaving it there. But what I will discuss was something that I've seen for a while. A guy that I watch on YouTube, Caleb Watches Movies. He reviewed it and gave it a good review. I believe you gave it like a 3 out of 5. And I've been interested in it, but I never kind of got around to it. And then finally I was like, hey, let's go. Let's make this happen. It was 2014's Spring.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Which is also on Tubi. So you have, I love the tagline, love is a monster.
That was one of my Tubi Tuesday picks 1 week.
There you go. A young man in a personal tailspin flees the U.S. to Italy, where he sparks up a romance with a woman harboring a dark and primordial secret.
Yes, she
now,
is.
Now, I loved the kind of like lore that is embedded in this film. It had really fun, both practical and CGI effects for it.
Yes.
You almost had this anxiety, kind of hasty feeling along with that guy, where he was put into moments where he's like, ah, what do I do?
Yeah.
But also at the same time with her, where you're all like, ah, what's happening to you? What are you?
It made me want to go to Italy and work in that field with that old guy.
Didn't you? Dude.
I would just sit and talk to him all day.
You don't know how many times I've watched like little urban farm and like urban nature documentaries from around the world, and they'll feature a little countryside village in Japan. And I'll be all like, yeah, I'll go there and I'll totally pick potatoes and carrots in this little like Japanese village and just like hang out with these people. That seems so relaxing.
Just hang out and, you know, learn the lessons of life from you.
But yeah, Spring, I thought it was very much worth it. Beautifully shot on location. Not exactly what I was expecting. And not exactly in a bad way.
I agree with you on that one. Spring is a fine film. So I'm going to jump to another film that you can watch on Shudder. This was the movie that actually kicked off my first 50, my 200 days of horror. Just kicked it all off for me. And that was Moon Garden. It's listed as from 2022, but it just came out to Shudder this year, so I think it was in theaters last year, but this is a very much a kind of a mix of like a Pan's Labyrinth with some dark, really dark twistedness of like Mad God that came out last year.
Yes. And you do love your Mad God.
It's very fairy tale-esque, dark story, but very beautifully done.
Ooh, I like this poster, Brad.
Yeah, it is a visual. I mean, just visually, it is amazing to watch.
That's going on the watch list.
Yeah. So,
oh, you really liked it. You gave it a 4.
I did. I really did like it. Loisos. It was one of his favorite movies last year.
Okay, then
go check out Moon Garden on Shudder.
I got to go with my one rewatch, and this was a lot of my like recent movies or like some parts of my 200 days of horror has been introducing my coworkers or my coworker, and especially my coworker and her husband, to some horror. So I love the fact that like she blames sometimes the, you know, like I haven't watched that many horror movies. I had to raise 2 kids. Like, I'm so behind. She said, like, I don't know what I was getting into. Like 3 years ago, I just asked you, Drew, do you know any horror movies? And I'd be like, yes.
Yes, I do.
That night, I introduced her to 2 different films. I introduced her to Hell House LLC, which she absolutely loved.
Okay.
And I was like, good. I showed her one of my favorite home invasion films, which is not The Strangers, although I do love The Strangers. And it's not Hush on Netflix, which I love Hush.
Pretty good one, too.
But it is 2009's Marcus Dunstan's The Collector. Josh Stewart does a great job. Juan Fernandez as The Collector. And you know what it is? I think I figured it out why I have this weird love and fascination for The Collector movie, but more importantly, the villain, the collector himself. And it's his mask.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his mask because he looks like the villain from Nightbreed. Because they both have these leathery, skin-tight masks that have, like, in Nightbreed, he's got, like, button eyes and a zip-up mask, or a zip-up mouth. But in The Collector, there's such tiny little slits. But more importantly, it's the lighting that's done in the film where his eyes, they almost shine like two tiny little buttons.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I think that's my fascination that draws me back to it. But also, it's just one of those things. It's like home invasion meets Saw, because he sets up all these little traps. It's just, I don't know. I have a weird fascination with this movie.
It was originally written as a Saw sequel.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a Saw sequel or like a Saw like side, but it was supposed to be like connected to Saw originally when they wrote it.
So I know they have The Collector and then they have The Collection.
Collection really steps it up quite a bit.
It's good. I enjoy it. I wish they would have thought about it better in this way. They would have had The Collector and then they had The Collection, but The Collection would have been the third film, because it should have gone The Collector, The Collected, The Collection.
Which we may never, ever, ever get to see. I don't think we're ever going to get. They started filming it.
Did they really?
And then it was pre-COVID. Then it shut down and nothing.
It's kind of one of those things where the franchise definitely has, like, I think, really good potential. But who knows if it's going to go anywhere.
I saw The Collection before I saw The Collector.
Oh, did you really?
I had no idea. I went to a theater. I was like, ooh, this horror movie looks fun. I'm going to go check out The Collection. So I went to the theater to see it and then found out there was a movie before it. And I'm like, oh.
You're like, why is Josh Stewart being, why is he being unloaded out of a box? I don't understand.
Yes, there was that. Like, I feel like I'm missing a little bit here. I mean, it still worked as a standalone. I wasn't lost or anything, but yeah.
The only issue that I take precedent with this film is I want to know how much time has elapsed between the time that Josh Stewart's character leaves the construction site on the house and when he returns back to rob it. Because, Brad, I don't care if that guy had a full 24 hours. How do you possibly set up that many traps?
True.
Detailed, intricate traps.
In movie time.
But either way, that's the whole point. Like, I don't understand how he has the time to do it. I mean, it's not that I don't love him, and it's not that I'm not impressed with him. I just don't know how you had the time. but movies got a movie. That is my one rewatch.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna jump to my one rewatch I have on my list. And this is a movie that came out last year, and that is Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls. This movie is just an absolute blast. So much fun. It's just hilarious. It's got some great practical work in it and just goofy, silly, good time. It was one of those, like, I was having a down day and I'm like, I need something to kind of bring me up. And I'm like, I'm going to throw Onyx Fortuitous on and just have a good time. And then, you know, you watch it and you find yourself walking around going, I don't know.
I wish that was part of my 200 Days of Horror, but sadly, it was part of my movie scavenger hunt for the last year. Such a fun film.
Oh, it's super fun.
Just stupid and goofy. You have such a great cast.
The meatloaf scene alone had me rolling.
The marketing that he did for this film to promote it as well.
Oh, yes.
I thought was brilliant. Throwing himself into like old horror movies to promote his actual.
So funny.
The dude is genius. And then I think it's just so weird that, like I was telling you, some of my other, you know, podcast friends from Canada were all like, dude, I hated this film. His character was so annoying. I couldn't stand it. And I was like, what? Who hurt you?
I can see where some people might think he is annoying because he's kind of, I don't want to say one trick. He's not, but like just some of maybe the, I don't know, the way he talks, maybe they don't enjoy it. I don't know. But yes, that was my one rewatch on Onyx Fortuitous. I had other rewatches through the 50, but that was the one rewatch that made the list.
Let's see. I say this. I would like to do my sixth one next, and then we can do our bottom three, and then we finish this off right with our favorites.
Okay.
So this was most recent, just within the last week. It's been on my list. I actually knew nothing about it. All I saw was a poster. I didn't even watch a trailer yet. But you're all like, dude, we got to watch this. 2023's Stop Motion by Robert Morgan.
Just missed the list.
What the fresh hell is that? This movie was just so trippy and yet so predictable in some aspects. You couldn't but be helped to just stare. It's like a car wreck. Like, you couldn't look away. You're so fascinated by it. Like, you want to keep watching in case you, like, maybe see something, like, just horrifying. And so you can, like, you know, go home and, like, call your friend and tell him stories about it. But this movie's so trippy, so weird. I almost feel like, and I know I say this all the time, I feel like it could have been, like, a miniseries? Like a miniseries.
What? I haven't heard you say that before, Drew.
It just means I wanted more. But, dude, like, the slow dissolve of her psyche. Dude, 100%. I wanted it more. I wanted it slower. Although, with things that come up and happen, you're all like, okay, I see where this is going. I see what's going to happen. I get it. Now it's just a waiting game. But even that, I was like, let's go. But 100% I was in. It was freaky. I was impressed with the practical effects of it all.
I love that stop motion. I loved its
yes.
grimy.
See, this is our Mad God thing.
Dirty. Yeah, it gave me kind of that Mad God feel, just the look of the little character. It's a good one. It didn't quite make the list. So I think you're one ahead of me because we had the crossover with Low Lives.
Oh, yeah, I am, because I skipped my Low Lives. Okay. So what are your last two?
One of them I just watched last week. It is a film from 1981 that I had heard a lot of talk about it. You know, our friends over at the Slashers, please bring back for season two.
Yes, please.
I've heard you talk about it. I've heard other people talk about it. And that is Butcher Baker, Nightmare Maker.
Yeah.
Finally watched it for the first time ever. And holy crap. Talk about going insane.
That movie makes you so uncomfortable.
Yes.
You're also just still along for the ride. There's the uncomfortableness of the aunt or the mom. There's the uncomfortableness of the homophobic sheriff.
Oh my God. He was.
That was never ending, right? It's all like, are you playing basketball? You a fag? And I'm like, what's happening here?
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you so brazenly?
When it started, I was like, okay, where's this going to go? Am I going to like hate this? But I mean, there was a lot. I mean, so many different ways people get bullied. I mean, you had Bill Paxton as like the basketball player bullying this kid. You had the sheriff and the coach and then the aunt/mom just going nutso. Absolutely nutso.
This is like a psycho version of if you watch that little animated feature of Bao, the mom who has the kid who always wants to run away, who's like, he says, like, I'm leaving home, I'm going to college, and then she eats him.
Oh yes.
Like that's like a cute version of what this is.
I will tell you, the opening scene of this movie almost gave me that Final Destination 2 PTSD with the log through the window. Yeah. No, this movie was so good. I think I texted you after. I was like, I need to own this movie because I loved it. I would rewatch it. And next time I watch it, I'm going double feature Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker with Blood Rage. They both have this crazy insanity wind up to both of them.
Okay. You know what it was? It was I had seen Butcher Baker before and I really liked it. And it wasn't until listening to the Slashers episode that I was all like, oh man, Jason's right. I got to get this. I got to get this on Blu-ray. Let's go. So Jason is to blame for that being in my library.
That's okay.
Thank you, Jason.
And I finally watched it and guaranteed I will watch it again. All right, so I get one more here before we drop to the bottoms.
You do.
So this is a sequel, and that is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2.
I still haven't watched any of those.
I really enjoyed the first one. It was terrible stupidness, but I had fun. My wife went with me to see it. She absolutely hated the first one. But then the second one, I was like, you're going to come see the second one with me, right? And she's like, yeah, sure, why not? And this one, you could tell that they got a budget. They got a little more money to make a film this time. And it showed.
Even the trailer kind of looked like it was better. I'm still looking forward to watching those eventually. I think I was, you know what it was? I was still so sour on buying the movie, like not waiting for Amazon, but I bought it through, not that like Umbrella, you know, Productions is a bad company or anything like that. I just think like the pre-order cost was a little pricey.
Yeah.
Especially for the feedback after everyone started watching it and they're like, this thing sucks. And I'm like, why did I spend this much money on it? But you know what? The decision was made and it's fine. So I think that left a bad taste in my mouth and I was like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
Now, the first one's not that great, like honestly, but I mean, I've watched it multiple times. It's still enjoyable for me. The second one is just, it definitely steps it up a lot more. Even my wife was like, you know what? This was actually pretty fun. I enjoyed this one. And she's looking forward to seeing three. And
there's going
to
be a third one?
Yeah, there's going to be a third one.
Oh my God, no.
It's going to be a whole universe. They have a connected universe now that's going to lead up to
the Pooniverse. I saw the trailer for Bambi, like
Renegade. Bambi the Reckoning.
The Reckoning.
I am all in. All these public domain horror movies, I'm all in.
If there's not like a killer bunny that thumps on someone's head and smashes it, I'm going to riot. What else could they do?
Peter Pan, Bambi, Blood and Honey 3.
The old folklore, or like the story that was like really dark about Peter Pan, was that the way and the reason as to why he stays so young is that when he visited children in their bedrooms, he was actually stealing their souls and taking them back to Neverland.
See, that one's ripe for horror.
So if Peter Pan is actually this like forever child, stealing of the souls like keeps him young, but he's like secretly like dark and evil, and he's got like that Dorian Gray kind of thing going about him, and Tinkerbell is actually like a vicious little like bitch of a pixie and will like slit somebody's throat or something.
They had the intro for before Blood and Honey 2 with the writer director, and he was saying that Tinkerbell's pixie dust is heroin. So you can see where this is gonna go.
Oh my gosh,
it's gonna be twisted.
Okay, so we got Peter Pan. What else? Like, do we know anything else?
Peter Pan, anybody? Bambi, Blood and Honey 3.
Okay.
And I think they said in the Pooniverse we might see like the Mad Hatter. They're not coming out with an Alice in Wonderland, but some other characters from others might kind of pop in so they can keep it going.
Okay, so hold on. Not that I've watched any of the Pooh movies, obviously, but do they show Heffalumps and Woozles?
They get mentioned. Okay. In this new movie, they get mentioned.
Okay, so then I bet they're going to be in three.
When they show the map of 100 Acre Wood.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have a spot.
Nice.
It's written in. We're getting some Mickey Mouse horror movies coming soon.
Yes! Steamboat Willie! Let's do it. I'm really excited for that. I think that's going
to
be fun.
So, you know, I'm all in. I'm all into public domain horror. I know people, there's plenty of people out there in the world that are like, they're just trying to make a quick buck. Yeah, isn't everybody? I'm in.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
They're getting my quick buck, and I'm going to go watch it.
And we are here for it.
All right, so before we reveal the number ones, what are a few that just kind of missed the mark for you in this 50?
Ones that missed the mark for me. So I got to go with 1988's Communion.
I don't know this
now
one.
1988's Communion is a movie with Christopher Walken, and it's based on a novel. It's about this guy and his family and dealing with aliens, and like no one's believing him.
You got Christopher Walken, you got aliens. This sounds pretty great so far.
You think it would be, but I don't know, dude. It kind of just missed it for me.
Okay, all right.
I was not a fan of it. I thought like it was really slow. Christopher Walken's acting, I mean, his acting is weird in general, but this was also just odd. The dialogue was weird. It almost like they were trying to like lift lines from the novel itself and have them be integrated. I don't know. It didn't do it for me.
Oh, where do I start? Well, first one I'll say that missed the mark is from 2013. It's a movie called After Dark. And it is basically, it's college kids whose car breaks down in the middle of nowhere out in the desert. And they're people out in the desert that, you know, mess with them. It's 100% cliched all the way through. It has like the cliched characters of the jock, the slutty blonde, the like nerdy kid, everything in this. I'm like, there is not one original idea in this film. I've seen all of this 100 times. Why? It did not work. I guess if you hadn't seen the other 1,000 movies that have done the same thing before, maybe you would enjoy this, but
sure. Another one that just kind of, I think the hype for it was more than the payout, and that is 2024's Night Swim.
Oh my God.
Hey, does Amityville have a pool? Yeah, it does. How do you avoid it? You don't get in. Okay.
I think we already had Amityville pool.
Amityville hot tub. Amityville sauna.
I didn't watch it for this. I watched it before this, but yeah, it is not good.
There are moments in the movie that I think are good because they allow for like a really neat creep factor.
They do.
In the beginning, when the girl gets up and she thinks that her sibling has gone out into the pool and like, you know, she goes and gets like his she's going to go get his boat or something. And then she falls in. And then every single time that she's trying to like swim to the top, she can see like the body of the sibling that she's like looking for. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then like she goes down and then like it gets closer and like you can see like the white reflection in the eyes. And then like she comes back up and he's gone. Or like when the wife is out there swimming and she's like looking at the light and she's like her back is turned and you can see someone walking like in the background into the house. Little things like that. I'm like, whoa, you're building like great atmosphere and good for you.
It had moments.
But what the hell happened?
But they were very small moments that just didn't work.
It's a really bland dish that I'm picking around. I'm removing the bacon bits from the salad. I don't want the salad. The salad is gross. I'm removing the bacon bits to enjoy those.
Next on mine is a found footage film. I know a lot of people love this movie. Also from 2013. Wow, coincidence here. It's called Willow Creek. It is a found footage Bigfoot movie.
You didn't like Willow Creek?
I did not at all.
Really?
I know there are tons of people. Like, I was looking at reviews going, man, so many people love this movie. I was like, man, I hate it.
I didn't, like, absolutely love it. I gave it, like, a 3, but I was kind of invested in, you know what it was? It was the night scene when they were in the tent and there were all the noises.
Yeah.
I don't know. That kind of got me. Some of the noises and the creep factor of that got me invested. But also, it just seemed kind of weird how there were the unexplained thing of, like, defensive locals saying, like, get on out of here. Turn that off. I'll kill you. And Brad's like, you're making my point.
It was, I don't know, found footage and I don't always get along.
Sure. Sure.
But I think a lot of it is, a lot of these movies use the same stuff that I've seen 100 times. Just like, you know, the movie before this of After Dark. I'm like, yeah, I've been there, done that. Like, this didn't add anything new.
There's no original ideas. There's no original ideas anymore. It's only how you can paint it up and throw some glitter on it.
I get that. And this, this used the wrong glitter.
Now, you know me, and I'm like you. We're both pretty generous when we're rating some films and looking past a lot of things. And,
yeah,
you know, we can find the good. We can find the good in a lot of films. Even Paul from The Countdown says, Drew is incredibly generous. And I would agree. I would agree because I do want to find the good in someone's efforts.
Well, there are some movies out there.
Granted.
I'm not going to name the movie, but you know which movie it is. You told me not to watch it, but I did.
I warned you. Very rarely do I give a half star rating. If I could give it no stars, I would, but Letterboxd doesn't allow me to.
This is a potential no star.
This is a potential no star. It is.
Now I'm intrigued by this movie.
2002's directed by Scooter Corkle, It is The Friendship Game.
The Friendship Game? I don't know this one.
The tagline says, "Win together or die alone." A group of teens in a small town come across a strange object that tests their loyalties to each other with increasingly destructive consequences. The deeper into the game they go. Brad, this movie is entirely a, like, what the hell is this?
Oh, yes, I remember you posting
it. It makes zero sense. They try to throw in this, like, surreal reality matrix, like red pill, blue pill, kind of like bullshittery. And it, I don't understand like why this was a thing. I just don't. You know what it is? It's like if someone heard half of the plot of Wish Upon from another room and then they played a game of telephone and then they made a script out of that.
Okay. All right.
If people enjoy this, I don't want to badmouth stuff, but this movie made zero sense for me. And I don't think it was acted well. That's it. The lead was cute. That's it. That's all I got.
I was like, I'm looking at the lead. I was like, I've seen her, and it's because my kids watched the show on Disney, Jessie. That's where I've seen her. And I was like, I know that face because I'm looking at her filmography and going, I've seen a couple of these movies, but it's not from that. But yep, she was in.
Oh, I guess she's also the Peyton girl's also in like Hubie Halloween or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Friendship Game. Skip it. Drew would have given this no stars if he could. Guys, zero. That's huge.
That's big for
people,
me.
People may not really grasp how big this is.
I'm very forgiving and generous. And this...
And you know, because I'm like a curious cat, I might have to watch this movie just to see what film gave Drew the I might have to go no stars.
Night Swim got a better score than it.
Wow. I think I only gave Night Swim like one star.
I also gave Night Swim one star.
Okay. All right. Friendship Game. I'll report back at our 100. All right. So my last film that just missed the mark is Easter Bunny Massacre from 2021. It's not a surprise because this is a no budget film. I knew going in it wasn't going to be good. I mean, you and I watch these movies, and even going in a lot of times, I'm like, this isn't going to be good, but I want to go, I want to be entertained. That's all I want. I just want to be entertained. And this didn't. And it even had Mae Kelly in it, and it still didn't give me any entertainment value. It was a I Know What You Did Last Summer wannabe, and it didn't work. And there's a sequel, which I'll probably watch.
Now we get to go back up to some good stuff.
Unveil our number one watch for this first 50 days in the 200 days of horror.
This is my surprise watch, which I was very pleasantly surprised in finding it and going to check it out. And it is available on AMC Plus and Shudder. It is directed by Peng Ho Chung. It is 2010's Dream Home.
Oh, I remember you talking about this one.
Mm-hmm. In a cutthroat property market, she'd kill for a harbor view. A woman will go to whatever lengths necessary to obtain her dream home with a view of the sea. This includes driving down the property value and decreasing the occupancy rate by killing her potential neighbors.
She kill those that she doesn't like or just killing them in general?
Yes.
Okay.
A little column A, little column B.
That's a, I don't want to give anything away. I'm just going to say yes.
So this woman has always had a dream of like living in this seaside apartment complex, and she's always wanted a view of the ocean. This has been her dream ever since she's been a child. And when she finally has the availability and the money to do so, things start kind of going awry and not exactly in her favor. And she tries everything desperately that she can to make it work for her. The kills in this are both clever, bloody, funny, and I was all in 110%. It didn't get a 4. It gets a strong 3.5 out of it for me. But this is top list for me because it was such a shocker and a surprise to just sit down, watch, you know, a 2010s foreign horror. And it was not ghosty. It wasn't demons. It wasn't cannibals. It was just a psychotic lady wanting to get her penthouse view.
interesting. Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
All right. So my number one, you can also now watch it on Shudder. And I have watched it twice within this first 50 days. And that is Late Night with the Devil, starring David Douse Mulchen. You know how I said found footage is hit and miss for me. This is like the lost episode of an old late night show. They nailed the feel of that old late night show. It was creepy. It just hit every mark for me and just worked on every level.
My coworker, the one that I've been introducing movies to, she came to me and she said, like, "Rue, Late Night with the Devil. We went. No. Boring." And I was like, "What do you mean boring?"
I could maybe see that.
But she also said, "I fell asleep twice." And I'm like, "No, your opinion is immediately gone." You fell asleep, not at home, not even at home. She fell asleep in the theater.
I will just say, this is not giving anything away. Ingrid Torelli, she's the young girl in the movie. She is just fantastic because there are so many scenes, because it's supposed to be like a live television event. Just she looks directly at the camera and it's just like she's staring through your soul. So good. So good. This is probably not the last time you will hear me mention this movie on any list this year. I'm just gonna put that out there. Unless, you know, this last half of the year just drops a whole lot of awesome bombs on me. I don't know.
Things have been going pretty well for horror this, you know.
Well, these just the last couple of years, they've been a lot of really solid movies. There's been a lot of misses, like Night Swim, Imaginary is another one, but
I still got to see that. Paul from The Countdown, literally, I mean, he and Dave were almost like foaming at the bit, like just saying like how bad it was. They're like, "Yeah, I've seen Coraline. It's fine."
Yep.
That's all they said. And I was like, "Oh." Or no, they didn't say it's fine. They said, like, "I've seen Coraline. It's better."
Pretty much. Are there any films like that didn't make the list? Like, I watched the Omen series, like, all except for the first Omen. I had only ever seen the original Omen film from 1976. I had never seen the sequels. I watched through all four of these original films. And I'm looking forward to seeing the first Omen when it comes out at home, because I missed a chance to go see it at the theater. I had Horror Hound in this, so I saw some Horror Hound movies, one of which I'm going to tell people to watch for. It's one called Cheryl, and it's a very good, like, twisted horror comedy.
Okay. I have not seen, like I said, Late Night with the Devil just yet. That is definitely on the list. There was a new movie that just recently came out. It has two different titles. It's either, like, Vermins or...
Oh, Infested? Or,
Infested. The French horror with the spiders.
I want to see what you think of it.
There's lots of spider movies coming out.
Yes. Sting is one I'm waiting to drop at home that Sting, I want to see.
The new Arachnophobia. You've had Vermins.
I think there's a couple other ones.
Is Long Legs a spider film coming out? That's the one.
I don't think it is.
No, okay, never mind. I just saw Long Legs and I think like Daddy Long Legs.
And I know within this next 50 days, we're going to get the new Strangers movie.
Mm-hmm.
100% we'll be seeing. Abigail will probably make it home. I haven't gotten a chance to see it in the theater yet.
Yeah, that's another one I want to watch.
First Omen should be dropping soon. And there's
excited for
probably
that.
A ton of other indie ones that will be coming out. Guaranteed.
I know that some of my coworkers this summer want to do an Alien franchise watch through to get ready for the new movie. So Romulus is on the radar. Yeah, I don't know. There's lots of stuff. I always keep adding stuff to my Letterboxd watch list.
Two others that are on my list to see probably in this next 50. Founder's Day comes out May 7th.
I do want to see Founder's Day. Our friend Ryan Terry didn't really enjoy it, but I want to see it.
Blackout's another one I want to see, the werewolf movie.
Okay. I don't know when it's coming out, but Wolf Creek 3, I'm excited for.
I don't think I ever saw Wolf Creek 2.
It's okay.
All right, Drew, you want to get back together in about 50 days and talk about what we've been watching again?
I would totally love to come back in about 50 days and talk about what we've been watching.
You know, follow both of us on social media. If you have Twitter, at 2BTuesday, you can follow me and follow any Tubi watches, other watches. My Hashtag 200 days of horror watches, all of those things. And yeah, I'll be back in 50 days with some watches. What about you, Drew?
They can find The Real Feels Podcast over on Twitter. Just search for The Real Feels Pod. On Facebook and Instagram, search for The Real Feels Podcast. You can find myself posting daily for hashtag 200 days of horror. I don't know anybody else that's doing it. So if you put that in there, I think you're just going to find Brad and I posting our watches. But you can also, again, just go on the socials, follow us, and you'll be right up to date.
Yeah.
And much like you can follow Old Man Brad and get all those brand new episodes, every 2 weeks you can find The Real Feels Podcast, where we're going to give you a different movie of a different movie genre every single time. Join us for the spookies. You should comment and send us messages. Tell us what you're watching. We would love to maybe highlight some folks if they're gonna be engaging.
Yeah. This is all leading up to October 1st because, you know, the month of October is just going to be a big, big thing, including this year, Drew. We'll just give them a little, you know, look ahead on Halloween Day. The 1031 Part 2 review comes out. We just did Part 1 last year, Part 2 this year, and then there are two more. They just announced Part 4, so we'll have two more to do in subsequent years. But yeah, watch for that. We'll talk to you all again in about 50 days. See you later.
Ta-ta.